Revelation chapter 16, religion is finished. Religion is anything invented by the devil or invented by man or a combination of the two. Man trying to reach God. And usually that God is a little upset, hasn't had his coffee yet, and he may or may not say, if you ascend the ladder of great service and sweating and jumping through their hoops. That's religion. Relationship is what the God who created the heavens and the earth wants from us. This morning, we're going to see the very beginning of where religion began. Verse 17 of chapter 16. And then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, into the atmosphere. And a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done!" The Greek allows for, "It is finished." Somebody bought me a box of ho-hos last week, and I want to say, praise God, even though you were anonymous, it was manna from heaven for me. I did my little Greek study, you know, called up all the Greek contexts and such. And then the text allows for, "It is finished." And I couldn't help but think, I remember somebody else saying, "It is finished." Our Lord did. I don't think that this is here by accident. This is the end of the Battle of Armageddon. And I couldn't help but think about another hill when somebody else said, "It is finished." There's a bloodbath at Armageddon. The Christ-rejecting, God-hating people, they won't listen, they won't listen, they won't listen. They prefer death and destruction and listening to those demons saying, "Go to Megiddo," those frog-like demons. And humans would rather hack themselves to ribbons of bloody pulp before they would listen to God. But then I remembered some other blood that flowed on another hill. You gotta go through some blood to some degree. The blood of our own strength will lead us down the religious path every time. And you'll buy into somebody's reasoning that says, you got to jump through some hoops. You got to do this and do that and ride a bike or whatever it might be. Cut your hair. You got five pillars. You better check off one after the other. There's very much a religion in Christianity. But what is it? You can tell. You got to jump through the hoops. You got to say you're 12 this and you're 5 that. And by the way, if you don't make it just right, then there's a whole nother backup system having to do with all kinds of increments. Gospel, good news is this. You don't have to work at this love that is already pouring out for you and me. It's like when the admirer across the room finally reaches out to the object of his affection and asks her out on a date. What is her only response, really, to begin this relationship? Is what? Just to say, yeah. When God created everything, how perfect was it? It was great. And it was relationship, nothing but relationship in the garden. With Adam and Eve naked and not afraid, not ashamed, and walking with God in the garden in the cool of the day. Sin wrecked it all. What's the gospel? God did everything. Zipped up a human suit. Lived a perfect life. He taught and did miracles. That's important, but it was not his goal. His goal was to seek and save coconuts like me. They're nailing his hands to the cross. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The blood pours. His heart literally ruptures. But before he died, do you remember what he said? Tetelestai, Greek for "it is." You got to fill in the rest. What? Finished. So the cross plus what equals salvation? What's in the blank here, you guys? Nothing. Well, I didn't pray enough. I didn't read enough Bible. Or I did something that I shouldn't have done over and over again. God must be mad, disappointed, and disconnected from me. You don't understand the gospel. Jesus did everything. All we do is receive. Some pastors are not helping the simplicity of the cross and the gospel message because it can make the message sort of convoluted. It's really this simple. Jesus steps up to your heart and mind and he says, I have paid for all of your sin. How much is all, everybody? I paid for all your sin. All you have to do is with your mind kind of get that. That's what the cross was about. But then with your heart, I just would like you to open the door of your heart and invite me to come in. It's that simple. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him, that means full weight, believe, should not perish but have, what kind of life, you guys? Everlasting life. And if you have done that with fullness and honesty in your heart, God says your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You are saved, and without any real effort on your part initially, really, you should notice that everything looks different. Ding, wait a minute. I don't really want to do those old things anymore. I want to do what God wants me to do. So why are there do's and don'ts in the Bible? God says that will not affect you and me positionally, theologically. Humans who, when they goof up and mess up, we feel lousy. We think that our relationship with God is based on our performance. We're the ones who will self-disqualify and excuse our love and our attention from the Lord because we feel we're whatever. It's very, very simple. Lord Jesus, save me from myself and my sin. He does it. That's the gospel. Religion is anything that messes that up. Verse 17, the judgments are done. Religion is finished. Verse 18. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city, we know this is Babylon, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. All the world's empires are literally erased by this massive earthquake. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. This earthquake is so powerful, the hills disintegrate and shake down to an average level around the earth. Right in your margin, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, and Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Mount Zion, where the new Jerusalem will sit, will become the tallest mountain in the world. Everest, 31,000 feet above sea level, it's going to rattle down, and Mount Zion will then be the tallest peak in the land. Verse 21. And great hail from heaven fell upon men. Each hailstone was about the weight of a talent. You can write in your margin, that's 100 pounds. Men blasphemed God right to the very, very end, shaking their fists at God. We've covered that. Why do men do that? Get our message from 2 weeks ago. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Leviticus 24, verse 16, because what is the judgment, according to the Mosaic law, for blaspheming God? Stoning. Chapter 17 and chapter 18, the great tribulation is finished. But then the narrative sort of turns, the camera pushes in on the city of Babylon. And let's get our bearings, okay? Hold your finger here, and let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 10. We'll do a quick study on where Babylon comes from. Verse 1. Genesis 10, verse 1. This is after the flood. The ark of the Lord bottoms out on Mount Ararat, and then soon after, the waters recede. The men go to replenish the earth. Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. and other sons were born to them after. Verse 2. Verse number 6. And the sons of Ham were Cush and Mitzrayim. And then now verse 8. Cush begot Nimrod. If you have room in your margin, his name means I will rebel. Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one on the earth. And that is not in a positive way. Verse 9. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That's the Hebrew word panim. And literally translated, it says in the face of God. Geographically, he's before the Lord. But what is his attitude? In spite of, in the face of God. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Verse 11, from that land he went to Assyria and he built Nineveh. Nineveh becomes later the capital of the Assyrians. Yeah, were the Assyrians tough on the people of God? And by the way, one of the 33 titles of the Antichrist in the Old Testament is, he is a Syrian. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found the plain of Shinar. This is in the Euphrates River Valley, and the land of Shinar, and then they dwelt there. Verse 3, and they said to one another, hey, let's bring stuff together. Let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. King James translated that as slime. This also is petrochemical bonding agents. Did you mean the Bible is pre-telling us about all the oil that is in this region? What's the answer? That's right. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Touch the blue dome of the sky. That's not what's being said here. They want to take the Maseroth of God. What's the Maseroth? The 12 major constellations that proceed across what's called the ecliptic or the approximate path of the sun across the sky. If you know the names of the stars inside the constellations, it literally speaks and tells of the gospel. Some of you who used to follow your horoscopes, you say, well, how is that possible? Doesn't the astrological signs begin with Aries, not the Maseroth? The first sign in the Maseroth is Virgo. So what's another way of saying Virgo, you guys? What are they building the tower for? As an astrological, not astronomical, an astrological study so that they can take God's clearly borne out plan of salvation marching across the sky, January to January, and they're going to pervert it. And guess what it's going to become? The zodiac of today. That God says, have nothing to do with that hocus pocus. Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do? They take all my God-given intelligence, abilities for observation, and what do they put their brains together to do? To do something that God said specifically, don't ever do. Religion is born on the plains of Shinar. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld for them. Come, let us, for you Bible students, circle that. What do you mean, us? Who's the us? How many gods are there? There's one, but there's three uniforms that he wears. Here's a mention of the Trinity in the Old Testament. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, verse 9, its name is called Babel. El, remember, is God. Bab in Hebrew is tower. The tower to God. The subsequent use of the word Babel that we know in English to babble, 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 babble. God confused the languages. Why? Because if you get all the world's humans together using their considerable intellect and talent to build and create, what typically will people do? They'll build stuff that God says stay away from. With the advent of the internet, Do you notice that the reverse is happening? Even though there are other languages across the face of the earth, various programs and apps that translate, the walls between the languages is coming down. And what are the humans doing? Back to Revelation chapter 17. All forms of religion and occultic practices all had their beginnings where, everybody? On the plains of Shinar, Babylon. Here's a quick example. The son of Nimrod, outside sort of histories and traditions say, Nimrod married a gal by the name of Semiramis. Now, according to Semiramis, they never had marital relations. She conceives supernaturally. She is heralded as the mother of heaven. Her supernatural child, she names him Tammuz. Tammuz was identified with the Babylonian sun god. As the days get shorter to the winter solstice, December 22nd, 23rd, then on 24th and 25th, that's when all the Tammuz worshipers would get crazy. The celebrations were a couple days after, 24th and 25th. Does that sound familiar? Yule, or youth, a Yule log was placed into the fire pit the night before on the 24th. Then on the 25th, a trimmed tree of sorts would be presented for the family. The Yule log, the youth log, speaking of Tammuz, is reborn. As Babylon was conquered by subsequent empires, this entire region, this whole religious university, this priesthood system was transplanted. Semiramis and Tammuz of Babylon becomes Ashtoreth and Tammuz of Phoenicia. Isis and Horus of Egypt, Aphrodite and Eros of Greek, and Venus and Cupid of Rome. The Persian king Cyrus conquers Babylon. He is so enamored by these priests because they were doing bona fide supernatural stuff. King Cyrus is so amazed, he says, I'm going to move you guys to another little city that I have called Pergamos. We've got that covered in our book of Revelation study, chapter 2. After the Persians, of course, came the Greeks, and after the Greeks came the Romans. And then the Roman generals then took the Babylonian priesthood all the way back to where? To Rome. In the 300s plus AD, as Christianity was established as the official state religion of Rome, this priesthood says, well, now we're out of a job. We love our Saturnalia, the 25th of December. Are you going to change that because we're Christian now? And such pressure came to bear upon the state, they said, no, we're just going to Christianize it. So December the 25th, Saturnalia, becomes the observance of the birth of Christ. Jesus was very likely not born on December the 25th, but we actually have an idea when he was born. Wouldn't you like to know? You'll have to get the tape. Including many of our traditions surrounding Christmas. The Babylonian worship of Ishtar, the golden egg of Astarte, and the fertility rites of the spring equinox become what? Easter. The Babylonian calendar's end was October the 31st. It was associated with occultic rituals regarding witches and spirits inhabiting animals, especially black cats, raising and interacting with the dead. If you didn't want a demon to trick you, you'd better have something on the porch that would be a treat for them. To keep the mischievous spirits from affecting your dwelling, Christian Rome could never quite squash that cherished night of demonizing. So then on the 1st of November, they declared something called All Saints Day, which became known as All Hallowed Day. So what did all the pagans do? It's fine with us. We'll just turn our night of demonic revelry into All Hallows Eve. Babylon is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. It was the capital of the first world dictator, Nimrod. And you know what? It's going to be the capital of the last world dictator. Alexander the Great was so taken by the city of Babylon, he was about to move his capital there. Do you know where Alexander died? He died in Fernley. I love my Fernley crowd. He dies in Babylon. And here's a very important understanding. Babylon was never fully conquered or destroyed. It changed hands, but it was never fully and completely and utterly destroyed. It simply faded and will rise again. Go to your Old Testament book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 5. Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, "Lift up your eyes now and see what is that that goes forth." Check it out. Watch this, he says. Verse 6. So I asked, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "Look, it's a basket that is going forth. This is their resemblance throughout the earth. And here is a lead disc." King James, Old King James, has it better translated, a talent. A basket and a talent is indicative of tremendous economic money banking stuff in the Bible. There's something connected to the economics of the realm. Here is this talent or this lead disc. Lift it up and look inside the basket. And who's sitting there? It's a woman sitting inside the basket. Then he, the angel, said, "This is wickedness." And right in your margin there, Revelation 17, verse 3, which tells us more about this woman. Back to the narrative, verse 8. And he thrust her down into the basket, threw the lead cover over its mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked. And there were two women coming with wind in their wings. As an aside, when you see angels of God that appear in Old and New Testament, I want you to notice that they're usually spoken of in the masculine form, he. These are two women coming with wind in their wings. Number one, it doesn't say they're angels. For they had wings like the wings of a... Circle that. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 19 says that a stork is an unclean animal. It's a hint. They may be spectacular, and they may have wings, but they're not angels. Those of you from a spiritualistic past, many of the deities that will come and talk to the humans, typically what gender are they? It's a fascinating idea. Let's keep reading. And they lifted up the basket between heaven and earth, picked it up, and started flying away with it. Verse 10. So I said to the angel who talked with me, "Well, where are they going?" He said to me, "To build a house for it." For what? Weights and measures. Strong economic prowess. And this woman inside. They're going to build a house for it in the land of Shinar. Babylon. Back to Revelation. Mystery of Babylon is the religious thing that we talked about. It's the great whore who founds all the religions. She rides the beast with 7 heads, 10 horns. She's the mother of harlots and abominations. And she is drunk with the blood of the saints. In chapter 18, that's the economic, political, and literal physical city that will be rebuilt on the shores of the Euphrates River. Saddam Hussein was attempting to literally rebuild that city. So there's some structures there now. The Bible says there will come a time when Lucifer himself will inspire the architects of the world, and when Antichrist shows up and he forces all the people not only to worship him, but that all the economics are going to flow to him as well. He will be fabulously wealthy. What will he do with his wealth? He's going to raise armies, to be sure. But you know what else he's going to do? A grand building project. Why? Because the devil understands, that's my city, Babylon. Then one of the 7 angels who had 7 bowls came and talked with me, saying, "Come, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." There she is. That's Zechariah chapter 5, verse 5. What are the many waters, by the way? Isaiah 57, 20 says, the undulating, restless seas speaks of a God-rejecting humanity.